This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Buying or selling a car can be a stressful experience. Not only do you have to choose which car you want, there's many other expenses involved and, of course, opportunities to be ripped off along the way. Fortunately, however, we, the Joy Drive family, are kept informed as we get to check in with Consumer Affairs Victoria. And Nicole Rich is the Director of Consumer Affairs Victoria. Good afternoon, Nicole.
Oh, good afternoon. It's nice to be back.
I feel like buying or selling a car has, I suppose, the potential to be one of the most annoying and stressful things, but it doesn't need to be, does it?
No, I mean, look, it's a fair opening comment because they're pretty expensive and, you know, they're a big purchase. So, you know, if something goes wrong, then obviously it's kind of a bigger deal than, you know, something goes wrong when you buy a kettle or a toaster. So I guess that's why at Consumer Affairs Victoria, you know, we think it's quite a big issue, and it's really important that people know what their rights are when they're in the market buying or selling a car.
What are some things to consider when buying a new car?
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, if you're lucky enough to be in the position to buy a new car, that's terrific. You'll probably be dealing with a motor car trader if that's the case and you're buying a new car. So obviously price is kind of one of the key considerations when you're in the market, and we can talk a bit more about, you know, that versus other things when we're talking about used cars in a moment as well. But we always just like to advise people to be aware that there are obviously other really important factors to take into account. So these days I would say fuel economy and everything to do with that, obviously, whether it's electric or petrol, and what the fuel economy is, if it's petrol, is really, really important. And there's government websites available to help you check that. The safety rating is also really critical and something we'd really strongly encourage people to check.
How do you check it?
But then also there's, so the TAC in Victoria, the Transport Accident Commission, has a really good online tool that you can use to check that. But also if you've got kids and things like that, then just making sure that the car can fit the child restraints that you're going to want to use and so on is pretty important as well. So we just suggest that people take those things into account, as well as price, of course.
When you hear a car ad on the radio and it's like, I don't know, $49,000, drive away. What's the difference between the drive away price and, say, the cash price?
Yeah, that's right. So if you hear that in an advertisement, that's a good thing, because the law does require traders to tell you what the driveway price is. So the driveway price is actually like the final amount of money that you will pay in order to buy your car and take it away. So it's pretty important that you understand that. The cash price is actually also quite important, though. So the cash price is essentially like the underlying price for just the vehicle itself. But then obviously there's, you know, other kind of costs that you pay for after you've bought, when you're buying the car. Like it could be, you know, stamp duty or registration in some cases, or there might be, you know, additional add-ons that you've purchased through that. Sometimes there's like a dealer delivery fee, things like that. So all of those things can add up. So it's important you understand what the cash price is so that you can do that shopping around and make sure you're getting a good deal for the car that you want to buy. But it's also clearly important that you know what the driveway price is. Like, what are you actually going to be paying to take the car home?
Let's say going to the dealer and where I'm after a particular car. I might be after the hybrid car, for example. I want to save on a bit of fuel economy. And the dealer talks me into buying the expensive EV, which is really exciting. And I drive it away and I think, oh, my goodness, have I made the right decision? I'm not sure. Oh, no, did I get talked into it? It was the, you know, impulse buying. Is there a cooling off period?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that's happened to people before, right? So it's just starting to bring back memories. So, so it's really important to understand when you do and don't have a cooling off right? So generally speaking in Victoria, if you are buying a car from a licensed motor car trader, then you will have the right to a cooling off period. But it only applies if you haven't driven away and taken delivery of the car.
Oh.
So So you've got a cooling off period of 3 business days, which is great. So it just means that if you maybe felt a bit under pressure and you sign, then you're sort of regretting it later. You do have the ability to change your mind. But if you take delivery during that 3-day period, including, you know, if you drive off the lot with the car on the day, then you won't have that cooling off period anymore once you take the car away. So that's just a very, very important thing to take into account. So one of the benefits of buying from a trader is that you do potentially have the cooling off right, but you just have to watch that. Obviously, one of the downsides of buying from, you know, a lot of us would buy used cars from a private sale. You know, you go onto online, you buy a car from somebody else. Obviously, the benefit of that is often you can get a better price. But one of the big downsides is you don't have as many protections, and you certainly don't have a cooling off right if you buy from a private seller.
Nicole, I bought a car during the, you know, just after the COVID period, and they had the chip shortage going on in the world at the time. And I love radio. It's why I work in radio. I love it. I channel surf. I listen to radio all the time. And I drove the car out of, you know, the dealer, and I was trying to find the radio to turn it on. And I rang them and I said, "Where's the radio?" And they said, "Oh, it doesn't have one because of the chip shortage, but you can use TuneIn app." And oh my goodness, do you know what? Anyway, I looked at the clause and it was in there. Some functionality may be missing because of, you know, shortages at the time. I couldn't do anything, but lucky because the market was good at the time, I was able to get rid of the car at, you know, pretty much what I paid for it. So I was lucky, but I could have got caught with something that I wasn't happy with.
Yeah, oh, that's such a good story. I would be the same as you. I actually also very much enjoy my car radio and would like that as well as the digital option. So I would be like you. Yeah, that's really important. So, I mean, people often ask about things like warranties and, you know, defects and so on when they buy cars. So we can talk a bit more about warranties, but even where you buy a used car from a trader, so in Victoria, if you buy a used car from a licensed motor car trader, if the car is less than 10 years old and has driven less than 160,000 kilometres, you will automatically get what's called a statutory warranty, which is another really important protection. But it actually doesn't cover things like radios, those kind of items. It doesn't cover tyres, the things you love, battery. So it will cover like really important things with the car itself, but it actually won't cover things like that. So you really need to, you know, and then obviously with new cars, you might have a manufacturer's warranty that applies. It may cover it. You should probably check beforehand. Obviously, if they tell you there's a working radio and then there isn't, you'd also be protected under the Australian Consumer Law. But you're spot on. You know, you really have to check, you know, anything like that, anything important. One of our top tips again is, you know, test drive the car, ask questions, get it checked out, make sure you understand, you know, all of the features before you buy it, because it can be quite tricky to resolve afterwards.
Just on that, and I don't want to sort of harp on about radio, but something that I'm sure will cross your path at some stage is with a lot of the EVs that you buy now, they only have FM and digital radio. They don't have AM radio in them because of the noise interference from the electric motors. And if you think about it, a lot of the emergency broadcasters are ABC radio, which are on the AM band. So you could be in a situation in regional Victoria or, you know, even I suppose the emergency broadcaster here in Melbourne is on AM and you might not be able to get them.
Yeah, that's such a good point. You know, really well raised, and I guess something probably for government to be thinking about in the future about how we make sure we get emergency messages out to people with, you know, the new world with more and more EVs hitting the road, as you say. But again, it just highlights, like, you really need to be aware of what you're buying, especially with these new cars. There's obviously, like, a lot of benefits to them as well, but make sure you know what you're buying before you drive the car away.
We're chatting with Nicole Rich, Director from Consumer Affairs Victoria, about what you need to know when it comes to buying, maintaining and selling your car. Nicole, what if you can't pay for your car outright? What happens then?
Well, I think that, yes, I mean, that's probably pretty common, right? I would say most people don't necessarily pay for the car outright up front. So I would say a lot of people listening would have bought a car with a loan, with the benefit of a loan, or what's called, you know, buying it on finance. So that's, you know, a fairly common experience and something that can be done. But you just need to be aware again that if you're going to enter into a loan, what do you need to know? Because obviously what happens when you take out a loan to buy a car is, generally speaking, the lender will take a security interest in your car. You need to make sure that you understand the loan arrangements. You need to understand things like how much how much you're going to pay in total under the loan. You know, is it a good deal? Are you going to be able to afford the payments? When are the repayments due? How often? The other thing that we would really suggest is just to be careful to shop around. Like a lot of people will go into a car yard and they'll get offered finance on the day
at the car yard. Come and meet our finance man. Then they go into an office. Would you like a coffee?
Exactly. So it can be quite an expensive option, and you might find that you're better off getting a personal loan from your bank or credit union or whoever you normally bank with, or just shopping around for another lender can be a much better option. So that'd be something I'd really encourage people to be aware of. And obviously, if you're in the market for a car, maybe doing that first and getting some pre-approval like you would do if you're in the market to buy a home, and you go and you talk to your lender and you get like a nominal sort of pre-approval so that you know how much you've got to spend, that's a really good idea with cars as well. I mean, they are a significant purchase.
Nicole, let's say we've got the car and it needs some repair work done. It's still under warranty. Do we have to take it back to the dealer, or can we take it back to any mechanic that can work on it?
Look, that's an excellent question, and also something we get asked a lot. And it can depend on the situation. So if you've bought, you know, if your car's got a manufacturer's warranty that you've got the benefit of, you might have bought a new car with one, or you might have bought, had a warranty, you know, the manufacturer's warranty might still apply because the car's relatively new and it's been passed to you from the previous owner. Or you might have bought an extended warranty. So one of the things you should do is check what the warranty covers and if there are any terms and conditions. So sometimes we will see that, you have a warranty that's going to protect you if the car needs repairs, but if you take it to a repairer that's not authorised under the warranty, or, you know, you don't take it back to the dealer, that you might void the warranty. So that can be a real trap and something you need to look for. But a lot of these warranties and so on will let you, as long as you take it to some kind of an authorised repairer, you'll probably be okay, but you really need to check. More generally, you may or may not have a warranty, but, you know, we talk a lot on this program about the Australian consumer law. So you always have your consumer law rights that products need to be of acceptable quality and they need to meet the description. So, you know, if there's just generally a problem with the car that clearly impacts, you know, your ability to use it, whether or not you have a warranty, you might actually have Australian consumer law rights to seek a repair. And you can negotiate with the dealer about how that repair is going to get done.
Is that repair covered as well, the quality of the repair? What happens if you're not happy with it?
Yeah, so if you're not happy with the repair, you can find sometimes that you can get into a bit of a dispute about that. And again, it's really hard to comment. You know, each case will be a bit different. In some cases, we see cases where, you know, the repairs actually just haven't fixed the problem and people are taking the car back again and again. I think that's a really significant issue. We might even consider that to be what we consider a major failure, which means you might have the right to a greater remedy, like even an exchange of the car or something like that. In other cases, we see people complaining about minor things with the repairs and they've basically been done fine. But sometimes we see people complain about things like, you know, a secondhand part was used in the repair, and that's not actually necessarily unreasonable. You know, particularly if it's an older car or something like that, and that's the best available option to kind of get the repair done in a reasonable amount of time. So, you know, I would always encourage people to also just be reasonable with their expectations, but obviously you don't put up with repairs just being done shoddily or not actually fixing the problem.
Nicole, do people still tamper with odometers?
Look, that's a really tough one to answer. It probably does still happen. It's an extremely serious criminal offence under Victoria's motor car laws. So if it does happen, it's a top priority for us as the regulator to... Yeah. So, I mean, definitely if somebody thinks that they've been a victim of odometer tampering, I'd strongly encourage you to contact Consumer Affairs Victoria and let us know. I guess, you know, it can be really hard to pick up, especially with today's modern cars with the electric displays and so on. But I guess some of the telltale signs would be that, you know, the car is, they're telling you that the car's only done a certain number of kilometres, which is reasonably low. But when you look at it, it's clearly got wear and tear that is really sort of showing. Or maybe there's some discrepancies in the vehicle's logbook versus what the odometer is saying. That's probably a pretty telltale sign as well. Or, you know, if you have a chance to talk to the previous owner, they might sometimes tell you things that don't accord with what the new owner or the licensed trader is telling you. So there's like various ways in which you might have some suspicions. If you have some suspicions, just be really, really careful. Or as I say, if you're concerned you've actually fallen prey to it, you really should report it.
Nicole, before we let you go, one other question. The part that I hate the most about cars is selling them. It irritates me. I hate it. Everyone turns up. They're not interested. They're wasting your time. It is a nightmare. How do we go about selling our cars? What's the best way to do it?
Yeah, I've definitely been through that experience as well. Look, there are different options. I guess in today's world with the online sort of websites, it's, you know, it is kind of an obvious sort of reasonably available option for people. So obviously a lot of people that are listening will have used those and would have sold their car themselves. So a private sale is clearly one of your options. But like you say, just means there's probably going to be a bit of time and effort involved. You probably have to pay for the advertising. You have to put up with the fact that you are going to have to make yourself available to allow people to have a look at the car, probably to test drive it with you and so on. But as long as you're willing to do those things, then, you know, that's one way to go. The other things you need to do if you're selling it yourself, of course, is you're responsible for getting the roadworthy certificate, making sure it's less than 30 days old at the time you're selling it. If you haven't sold the car in that period, you probably have to go and get another one. So there's a few things to consider there. You can trade it in for a new car. So that's another option if you're feeling a bit sick of doing all of that.
Yeah, which is what I ended up doing.
Yeah, maybe go to the dealer and see if you can get a deal to trade in your car, and that kind of offsets the price of the new car you're going to buy. So I guess the downside of a trade-in is you maybe don't get the same price you'd get with a private sale. But on the upside, there's a lot of things that are taken care of so it is something to think about.
What about if someone comes to test drive the car at your house and they say, I want to take it by myself, and they get a speeding fine? Who's responsible?
Oh, yeah. Well, look, I mean, you're probably stretching my knowledge of the road rules, but I mean, my understanding is that you've got the ability to nominate another driver with evidence, so I think you'd probably be covered. But you do raise a really important point. So, like, again, if you're selling the car yourself, one of the other things you're responsible for is the transfer of the registration, and these days you can do a lot of that online, so you can do it a lot more quickly. But I just again remind anybody that's kind of out there selling the car, just make sure you get onto that and do that straight away, because as soon as you've sold the car, you've got the cash, you've given the car away, you want to make sure that transfer goes through, because you want the car out of your name.
Get rid of it.
Otherwise you might start getting you could get things like fines, and it could be a bit hard to contact them again or, you know, demonstrate to Vic Roads that it wasn't you.
Nicole, great to chat with you. Great information again. Thanks for joining us.
No worries. Thank you.
For more information regarding your consumer rights on this topic or any other, check out the Consumer Affairs Victoria website, consumer.vic.gov.au. That's Nicole Rich, the Director of Consumer Affairs Victoria.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.